Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this next segment is being recorded in late August 2014, 100 years after the calamity that was World War I. Our guest for the next few minutes is an historian on 20th century Germany, including the Nazis, and I don't know of anybody alive who knows more than this guy does about that period. His name is Dr. Richard Weikart. We had him on recently, in fact, talking about Hitler and religion. Dr. Weikart, spelled W-E-I-K-A-R-T, is the author of the scholarly masterpiece From Darwin to Hitler, and he appears on a new short film put out by the Discovery Institute on the link between Darwinism and World War I. Dr. Weikart, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jerry.
Okay, so help us to understand World War I. From, what's the link between Darwinism and that? I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, well, interestingly, a lot of people today don't know, although the historians have mentioned it over the years. It's not something that's been completely unknown. But interestingly, right at the time of World War I and immediately thereafter, quite a few people knew about these links. During World War I and shortly thereafter, there were actually a lot of scholars, or at least a number of scholars, who did write about the problems of social Darwinism and its impact on the origins of the war. Vernon Kellogg, who we talk a good deal about in this short video, was one of those. He was a biologist. He believed in evolution. He was a biologist at Stanford University. He went over to Belgium on a humanitarian mission early on in the war, before the United States was involved in the war, had contact with a lot of German officers. And one of these German officers that he dined with was a biologist, so they shared their profession. And the German biologist explained to him the German position, essentially, which was that this war was just one episode within the Darwinian struggle for existence and it's part of natural selection. So he believed that this was that war was basically inevitable and even a good thing, because it would get rid of the so-called unfit peoples and allow evolutionary progress to occur.
That's amazing. By the way, when you, even people who are knowledgeable somewhat of history in general, trying to understand even what World War I was all about is very confusing. It's essentially, the best I can tell, is there were a set of different nations that had alliances, and those alliances were essentially against each other. So when one assassination occurred in Sarajevo, formerly Yugoslavia, then boom, the whole thing exploded. And so, you know, one nation allied with another, and so they declared war on each other, and then you end up with this big bloodbath.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, there are multiple causes. I'm not trying to argue anywhere that Darwinism was the only cause of World War I. That'd be absurd. But it wasn't a very important underlying cause to it. And here's sort of how it worked in one respect. Of course, you know, there's these nationalist tensions, as you suggest, the assassination, which was part of the Serb nationalists who were opposing Austrian encroachments on what they were wanting for part of Serbia, greater Serbia and such. So yeah, there's these nationalist tensions that are causing things to go on. But even in the military leadership within the Austrian and also the German military, there was this notion that war was inevitable because of the Darwinian struggle for existence, that this was sort of an inevitable part of life, and so we really can't escape that. You know, it's going to happen sometime or other because populations are expanding. You know, Darwin had brought forward in his theory the Malthus population principle, which was that human populations tend to expand faster than their food supplies. This leads to competition. And they saw these competition as being between different nations or different races. And so a lot of these military leaders, and there was one named Bernhardi who wrote a book called Germany in the Coming War in 1912, just a couple years before the war broke out. And Bernhardi, a German general, put forward if you read the first chapter especially, he starts off talking about the biological justification for war, and is based on ideas about evolution. And what I mentioned earlier too about people right after the war knowing about these links, most of your listeners probably know about William Jennings Bryan and the campaign that he led against Darwinism in the 1920s, which culminated in the famous Scopes trial in the 1920s. But one of the reasons why Bryan went on that campaign in the first place was because he was a pacifist, and Bryan was horrified by the connections between Darwinism and World War I. He sincerely believed, and I think he was right, at least in some respects, that Darwinism was a contributing factor to World War I.
As an historian, would you actually be willing to say that if there were no Darwinism or no acceptance of Darwinism, that there wouldn't have been World War One?
That's a difficult claim to make, and counterfactuals are always problematic when you're trying to deal with history. Wars, of course, have obviously been going on. They can be caused by other kinds of things. But I do think that probably it may have driven it to be to come about faster than it would have. I mean, there would maybe have been a war at some point in time. I think it contributed to it in the fact that it motivated people to do it and also to justify it. And here's what I would say, too, is even if people are skeptical of the claim about Darwinism being a important causal factor in World War One, I think it's absolutely the case that it was the driving force between World War II, and here's how that worked too, and here's the connection with World War One. There was a corporal in World War One who was fighting there, who imbibed social Darwinist ideas, and because once the war got going, a lot of people began justifying World War One on the basis of the Darwinian struggle for existence, including Ernst Haeckel, the leading German Darwinist at the time. He wrote a whole book during World War One, in which he basically said the war was an episode in the struggle for existence. It's part of the, you know, natural selection and such. And so even if World War One was not caused by Darwinism, I personally think there was a motivation that Darwinism gave to it that made it happen at a time when it wouldn't have happened till later. Maybe those tensions could have been resolved other ways. So I mean, I think it is a factor, and so I do think it's an important factor, but. Even if it wasn't, it certainly, Darwinism gave justifications for World War One that caused people after that to press for this expansionism. And Adolf Hitler in particular bought into those kinds of ideas that became even more rabid during and after World War One. And World War Two clearly was caused. I mean, I show this in my book, Hitler's Ethic, in great detail, how the expansionism that was behind Hitler's ideology grew out of the social Darwinist milieu that was birthed, wasn't birthed in World War One, but increased during World War One.
So the corporal you were referring to who was participating in World War One was, of course, Adolf Hitler.
Yes, it was Hitler, yes.
Okay, so in a sense, the rise of German militarism, which manifested itself both in World War One and obviously in World War Two in its full climax, that was linked to Darwinism.
Correct. Yeah, and again, I don't want to drive that too far. Obviously, Bismarck's wars in the 1870s did a lot to push forward German militarism. But even at that time, interestingly, there were some German biologists who, even during Bismarck's time, were saying that the Bismarck's wars were part of the struggle for existence, and the French, you know, had come up short, basically, especially, of course, in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 to 71. And so there were biologists even back at that time that were interpreting Bismarck's wars as part of the struggle for existence and were sort of lauding them as showing the superiority of the Germans over their other even fellow Europeans.
Has there been a major bloodbath of human beings butchered because of the acceptance of Darwinism or the distortion of Darwinism, but it still gets back to the Darwinian understanding as opposed to, let's say, a Christian understanding of life?
Well, again, certainly I think World War One was it was a partial cause there. World War Two, even more directly, I think, a cause. Yeah. But then, of course, the other issue that we need to wrestle with is the annihilation of human beings that took place based on racial warfare. And in this video that you had referenced at the beginning of the talk, which, by the way, is available at darwintohitler.com, if you go to that website, sure. We do look at the first genocide of the 20th century, which was in German Southwest Africa. And many historians agree that this is the first genocide or attempted genocide that took place when the Germans tried to exterminate the Herero tribe. And the commanding general there, this was in 1904, this war began, and the commanding general of the Germans named General Trotha made very clear that he thought this was a racial war of superior Germans against these inferior Africans, and that he thought it was a part of the Darwinian struggle for existence. And so he issued an annihilation order for the Hereros, basically wanted to starve them to death, drive them into the desert, most of Namibia, present-day Namibia's desert. And so there was an attempt to exterminate them. Then, of course, if we look at the Nazi ideology, which was built very heavily upon social Darwinism and sure. evolutionary ethics, they began trying to exterminate the people with disabilities beginning in 1939 to 40. They began an active campaign in which they had mass killing centers that killed about 200,000 people with disabilities in Germany, and they also, by the way, killed more people with disabilities in other parts of occupied Europe as well. And then once they had that operation underway, only after that did they begin the mass extermination of races, which was again interpreted as part of the Darwinian struggle for existence.
How is it that the nation, Germany, that produced Martin Luther, Johann Sebastian Bach, Ludwig von Beethoven, could produce this massacre of these Hereros you're talking about, the butchery in World War One, and then, worst of all, Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust?
Well, the Germans are very thorough, and they're very logical in many ways. And so when they get a hold of a wrong idea, they take it to its conclusion sometimes. It's very fanatical and radical conclusions. And if you look at the discourse of scientists and medical professionals in the period before the Nazi period, what you find is there were a lot of people who were imbibing secular ideologies. If you think about the Enlightenment period and the post-Enlightenment with Immanuel Kant, and then coming after him, Hegel and others, Germany was becoming more and more secularized in a number of respects, not just Darwinism. Darwinism is one manifestation of the secularization of European intellectual society, not just in Germany, but elsewhere too. But Germany was becoming very secularized, giving up on the Judeo-Christian moral tradition in many respects, buying into liberal Protestant theology, for example. They were the birthplace of Protestant liberal theology. And so people were getting further and further away from the Judeo-Christian roots and moral underpinnings that had been there with Luther and many others.
Now,
So Darwinism was one important part of that secularization process, and then gave the idea that human life is no more valuable than other things in nature. And so once you degrade human life, then sort of everything's open.
Well, in that example with the Hereros, here's a black African tribe, and here you have these white European Germans who are saying that, you know, because we've evolved further than they have, they are inferior to us. And people have to remember that the whole Holocaust was essentially Darwinism on steroids. That's my phrase for it.
Yeah.
It was the idea that, you know, let's create the master race. And, you know, and then the Hereros have no part of that. And then later that just gets expanded to Jews and to other people included in that. And now Darwin wouldn't agree with this stuff, or would he? It's my understanding that Darwin was at least encouraged that his theory was taking a foothold in Germany.
Yeah, Darwin wouldn't have agreed with persecuting the Jews, for example. There's nothing in Darwin that's anti-Semitic. In fact, he makes the only references that you'll find in Darwin about Jews are actually fairly positive. So he wouldn't have agreed with the mass extermination of the Jews. However, Darwin, in The Descent of Man, does discuss the extermination of races. There are several pages where he talks about the extermination of races and makes extinction of races, I think is the actual term he uses there. I don't remember if he uses the word extermination, but he does use the term extinction of races. And he makes it very clear that he does believe in superior races and inferior races, and that the superior races, which he, of course, thinks are the Europeans, are going to, over the course of time, lead to the extinction of other races. Now, he saw this already going on. This wasn't something that he was saying that he thought was necessarily a good thing that he was promoting necessarily, but he saw it going on already. In Australia, the Australian Aboriginals were being driven into the deserts and were diminishing. In other parts of the South Pacific, there were areas where the Fiji Islanders and others had been were largely disappearing, and so he saw this Tasmania, that's the place I was thinking of. In Tasmania, the natives had been just about annihilated by that time. So Darwin saw this process going on. He built it into his theory. He said it was part of the struggle for existence, and it's just a natural part of what happens.
Wow. So really, in a very real sense, whether he intended to or not, Darwin helped cast a terrible, terrible spell on the 20th century, which was the most bloody century in history. Yeah. Where can people see this film? What is its name? DarwinToHitler.org, I understand.
Yes, DarwinToHitler.com, actually.
Oh, .com.
DarwinToHitler.com is where they can go to see it. It's also on YouTube. It's called Biology of the Second Reich. The Second Reich, of course, was the Second German Empire before the Third Reich, Hitler's Third Reich. So it's called Biology of the Second Reich, and the subtitle is Social Darwinism and the Origins of World War One.
And the main guest on that is Dr. Richard Weikert, who we've been talking with on this program today. Thank you, Dr. Weikert. Any concluding thought in 15 seconds or less?
Well, just thanks for having me on the show, and I hope that your listeners will look at the video and decide for themselves.
All right. Again, DarwinToHitler.com. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.